situation. Meanwhile, as promised, let's turn now to what's happening in Northern Ireland this morning. So police in West Belfast have been attacked with petrol bombs, fireworks and bricks in an eighth consecutive night of violence in Northern Ireland. I'm sure you've been following this in the news. Rioters took to the streets, ignoring earlier calls for calm from Boris Johnson and the Irish Prime Minister as well. Well, Fergal Cochrane is an expert on international conflict and emeritus professor at the University of Kent. He's written a book, actually, on peace building in Northern Ireland and joins us this morning. Fergal, it's really good to have you on the show. Thank you for being here. And I think people are saying, aren't they, that this is the worst violence in Northern Ireland for years. Can you talk to us about why this has bubbled up now?
Sure, and great to be with you. I think there's a combination of things going on. One, obviously, is Brexit and the protocol. And since Christmas, you know, Northern Ireland has experienced a slightly different, set of circumstances than people in Kent have experienced over, yes, you know, a trade between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. So there's that. So all of a sudden, Brexit became very visible to the unionist community, and they felt that they were, you know, having a different type of Britishness than people in Kent were having. So there was, but which of course was always going to be the case, that Brexit was going to have practical impacts. But it's only really since Christmas that that's really triggered, you know, and it's become a practical issue. So there's that issue. There's also, I think, an underlying tension. So it didn't come from nowhere. You know, it came, yeah, from, there's an underlying sectarianism in Northern Ireland, been there for decades, even since the peace process all went through. So there's that. And also, there's loyalist paramilitary groups that have been under pressure from the police over drugs trade and racketeering. And so it's really, I think, the loyalist paramilitary seeing a chink, you know, seeing a gap, okay, where they can exert pressure back in the police. And they are doing that and doing it relatively effectively.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? Because we're seeing really young children getting involved. I'm hearing as young as 12 and 13, and people are saying they're being incited by the adults. So what's really going on here? I mean, do they even know the ins and outs of the Northern Ireland Protocol?
It's no. I mean, you know, they're not sitting there, you know, reading the withdrawal agreement. You know, that's not what's going on. It's very it's a very binary type of emotion, which is, is either our side or their side. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they see, I think, their side, are they being told, our side's losing, you know, we want to sort of push back against that. And it's pretty sort of a primary emotional level rather than intellectual analysis, you know, so sure, it's not that. But it's also, you know, Sinn Féin, you know, there was quite a controversial funeral, I'm sure you know about, and Sinn Féin leadership attended that during COVID, and the police decided not to prosecute, or there was a decision last week not to prosecute Sinn Féin, and again, you know, the unionist and loyalist community have interpreted that as, you know, Sinn Féin are winning and we're losing, and so it's a very sort of almost like football level, sectarian animosity, and so they've taken to the streets. And that's the other thing about this. It started very slowly, and then every evening, you know, one petrol bomb gets thrown, then the next evening five petrol bombs get thrown, and there's a cumulative wave effect. You know, and that's happened lots of times with protests, and I think you can see it again in this one. And, you know, one other thing probably to say is that you know, this was not news up until maybe yesterday in Great Britain. You know, people didn't really see it, didn't really appreciate what's going on there. You know, whereas if it had been in Kent or Birmingham, it would have been much more newsworthy, you know. And I think that also annoys everybody in Northern Ireland, but it certainly annoys unionists, where they feel that they're sort of parked over there. You know, they're not paid as much attention as people would be on what they would call the mainland, what nationalists wouldn't call it that.
Yeah, you're right. It's very much sort of risen up the running order, hasn't it, in the last few days? And of course, people are very worried because it's, you know, marching season is around the corner. We've known about these tensions. In fact, they were talked about in a very abstract way, weren't they, during the Brexit discussions. So what happens now?
Well, at the moment, there was an emergency meeting yesterday in the Assembly in Northern Ireland where the political leaders talked about what they were going to do about it. There really needs to be, I mean, this also connects straight into the devolved assembly in Northern Ireland as well, the whole devolved institutions there, which are definitely creaking as a result of this. So, and as a result of Brexit, and as a result of lots of other things. So really the political leaders have to take a grip, you know, and now they have initially the response of Arlene Foster, the First Minister, who's a unionist, obviously, and other unionists was that they understood the reasons for this, but they didn't support it, but they understood it. Yesterday, they hardened that up slightly to say, we condemn it, right? Even if we understand it, we condemn it. So Arlene Foster had also refused to meet the Chief Constable of the Police over the Sinn Féin funeral. So she was sending out very mixed messages about law and order. So on the one hand, she met loyalist paramilitary spokespeople, and then she didn't meet the head of the police force. And you had Sinn Féin supporting the police and condemning her. So that's not a cocktail for law and order when you've got political leaders saying different things about supporting the police. So I think an awful lot of weight is now sitting on the political leaderships in Northern Ireland to actually get a grip of it, to support the police. Also at sort of street level, politicians have a responsibility to, you know, get out there, talk to the kids who are doing this, get them off the streets. And there has been evidence, certainly on the national side, that, you know, kids have gone and put barricades up on the roads to stop cars. And their seniors, you know, councillors and parents went out and took the things away. So there's that level of sort of street by street behaviour. And the other thing is that the loyalist paramilitaries can turn this off as quickly as they can turn it on, you know. And the idea that it's uncontrollable, I don't think is right. I think it is controllable, and I think it is. I think it's also it's about political leverage. It's not just haphazard. And so I think that's the other sort of aspect of this that. You know, eventually there will be a decision to stop it. But yes, I mean, we're right up now, coming up to the July period where things get very, very heated. So, yeah.
Well, listen, we're out of time for now, but please do come back and talk to us about this again. You're right, you know, I think the media really does need to be across this, and we'd like to do the same here on BBC Radio Kent. So for now, thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you again soon. We will follow this. Fergal Cochrane then, Emeritus Professor at the University of Kent, who's written a book on peace building in Northern Ireland. I think Richard puts it well. He texts and says, I wish disputes did not have to involve violence. I think we can all agree with that.